So what is time? Not the herb, but the T-I-M-E. What is time? The human understanding of time began with the cycles of nature. Instead of counting hours and minutes as we do today, ancestors ordered their lives around the consistent patterns in the natural world. And the sun rising, time to get up. The sun setting, time to find shelter. The seasons changing, telling us when to sow and reap. The weather grows colder, the nights get longer and darker. Time to encourage the sun to return in strength. The magnificent stone pillars of Stonehenge mark the moment of the winter solstice. For our ancestors, the telling of time and the cycles of nature were intimately connected. Indeed, the origin of the word time refers to the ebb of the sea when the tide is coming in and out, the dependable cycle of nature. As human civilizations became more abstract, they had to create a new way of telling time. The idea of a week, for instance, has nothing to do with the cycles of nature, but with the biblical concept of God creating the world in 7 days. The idea of minutes and hours has nothing to do with nature, but originated with Babylonian astrologers who wanted some mathematical way to divide the night and the day. As human society became ever more complex, people needed some concept of time to organize themselves. So people created minutes and hours, dates and calendars and clocks in order to organize efficiently. A watch or clock is nothing more than an agreed upon counting system, which helps human beings coordinate their activities. So today, 7 billion or so human beings coordinate their actions around the world by an agreed upon counting system we call time. Science has another understanding of time. Scientists think of time, along with energy and matter, as a fundamental reality of the universe, interconnected and measurable. Einstein realized that the measurement of time was affected by motion. That is, a clock will change how it tells time depending on the speed at which the clock is traveling. And thus, time does not have an absolute meaning. It is relative to matter and energy and motion. And my MIT graduate in the first row can correct me after the sermon. Modern astronomy measures time in light years. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Thus, one light year is an immense distance. Astronomers tell us that we are seeing galaxies in the nighttime sky where the light has traveled billions of years to reach our retina. So in astronomy, time is on a grand scale. Physics, on the other hand, describes the universe on a minute, miniature scale. Physics, with their atom smashers, discover particles which exist for only a split nanosecond. And atoms fuse in the sun in a minute fraction of time, yet this gives us the light and energy we need on planet Earth to survive. So science stretches time from the infinitesimal in physics to the grandest scale in astronomy. So thus far, we have considered 3 different understandings of time. Time is marked by the cycles of nature. Time is a counting system to to coordinate our complex societies, and time as a fundamental reality studied by science. And these three viewpoints have a common theme. Time is the awareness of change. Time is the awareness of change. After all, imagine a world without time. There would be no past, there would be no future, only the timeless now, where nothing changed. But if some change took place, the timeless world would be different. There would be a now, how it is, and a before, how it used to be. Something changed between the before and the now, and that period, no matter how brief, between before and now, indicates that time has passed. Time and change are related because the passing of time depends on a change taking place. So far, we have considered time from a humanistic perspective. The world religions add another dimension to our understanding of time. Religion makes time sacred, of the highest worth. The earth traditions, or paganism, consider time to be an expression of the sacred power of the natural world. The sun, the moon, the stars are not just inanimate objects. They are alive. The earth is the flesh of the holy. The four seasons are not the impersonal movement of the earth's axis, but a movement of a sacred and eternal wheel. The earth we live upon is charged with sacred presence in the earth traditions. And time is the movement of that sacred world. In paganism, time is cyclical. The great cycles of day and night and the seasons are the movements we can depend upon and order our life around. The monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam also consider time to be sacred, but with a different understanding. In these traditions, time is linear. Time is linear. The Bible opens with the words, "In the beginning, there was a beginning of time." And the Bible describes what theologians call sacred history, how through time human beings fell from grace, followed by a long, slow journey towards redemption, from the ancient patriarchs through the Hebrew prophets, through the Christian faith in Jesus and the Islamic faith in Muhammad as the final prophet. The human family is growing through time towards right relationship with God and each other. At some point in the future, time will end, and human souls will live forever with their Maker. So in the Western religions, time is linear. It is through time that God creates a world and creates his beloved children. And time is the container which allows the formation of a human soul. The Eastern religions of Buddhism, Hinduism, and Taoism also consider time to be sacred, but with a different understanding. Whereas the earth religions view time as cyclical, and the Western religions view time as linear, the Eastern religions view time as both. It goes like this. There exists a nameless, timeless being beyond words. Time begins when a human psyche feels itself separate from the one being. And then the human soul must journey through many lifetimes, and each lifetime is a school, a new opportunity to learn important spiritual lessons, and the human soul gradually learns to reunite in love with the one. called Brahman, Nirvana, the Tao. The small self is liberated and unites with the cosmic self. And when this reuniting occurs, time ends. There's only the timeless one. In the state of enlightenment, time is seen as Maya, an illusion. And then the cycle begins again. A human psyche feels itself separate and then must journey through linear time to reach timeless enlightenment. Whether Eastern, Western, or pagan, religion views time as sacred. Time for religion is more than just a way to organize society or measure the universe. Time is what allows human beings to become aware of the holy. Time is the movement of God. Time is a precious gift. In the second half of the sermon, we will consider how we use that precious gift. Psalm 90 contains one of the loveliest lines in the Bible. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'm reminded of my grandmother back in 1976. She lived on Cape Cod at the intersection of 6A and Willow Road in Yarmouth Port. She was a pillar of the Unitarian Church in Barnstable. She had a long and sometimes difficult life, losing her son to polio, becoming disabled herself. But courageously, she had created a life for herself. Now, she was elderly then. I was 26. She could no longer live alone at home and with some trepidation was going to live with her daughter, my mother. And it was the last night in her beloved Cape Cod home. We sat together in her living room as the sun was setting, surrounded by boxes, all the furniture wrapped in that cellophane wrap. Her gray hair, which was usually in a neat bun, was down around her shoulders. It was the first time I'd ever seen her hair down. We sat quietly for an hour, not saying a word, as the sun was setting and the shadows deepening. And after a long silence, she sighed and said, "It seems just like yesterday that I was young. You will never believe how fast life passes until you're at the end of it. Life is short. So teach us to number our days. Life is precious, and that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Dr. James Whitehead is a social scientist who studies time and how human beings use it. And after all his research, he came to this sort of global conclusion that there are three ways that we human beings use time. And he called one dissipation, the second compulsion, and the third attentiveness. He describes dissipation in these words. Dissipation is a pointless, directionless life. We have lost interest in our working or loving and feel keenly the boredom or drudgery of time. Life goes on, slips away or runs out, but it enjoys no special energy or focus. Life has become a chronic and pointless repetition. A modern archetype is the character of Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman. He does the same job day after day. He follows the same habits day after day. Despite the blessings of children, a caring spouse, and a home, his life degenerates into mindless repetition. He is too scared to change, to take a risk, to be alive. There is something of Willie Loman in each one of us. We get stuck in our routines and habits. We let fear constrict how we live our life. Years can drift by while the passion in our soul remains hidden. We forget Henry David Thoreau's great warning that when it comes time to die, we may realize that we have never really lived. Dr. Whitehead describes compulsion as a second way we misuse our time. He writes, quote, "At the other extreme is compulsion. Our time is obsessively focused. We feel ourselves driven. One person may be obsessed with achievement. Another struggles to stay young. Another is fixated on sex. There are so many compulsions in our society. In each instance, the present moment cannot be enjoyed or even alertly attended to, for the person is distracted by his or her compulsion. We are possessed by a contemporary demon." In modern society, we often feel driven by too little time and too much to do. We race from one activity to another, trying to fit it all in. In our compulsion, our fear of missing out, we're pushed into a frantic lifestyle. And if we slow down, when we slow down, we start to feel empty or sad or perhaps restless, so we speed up again. And we demonstrate what Thoreau observed that, quote, "Most people lead lives of quiet desperation." Now, in contrast, and here's the good news, in contrast to compulsion or dissipation, Dr. Whitehead describes an attentive use of time. Now, the Buddhists would call this mindfulness. We need to pay attention in the moment, which means less regret about the past and less worry about the future. As Jesus said, "Let the day's own worries be sufficient for the day." And then we need to prioritize how we use our time. By identifying what is most important in life, we can use our time wisely, which is actually why we come to services, is to remember what is most important in life, so we can use our time wisely during the week. We do what is most meaningful and let the less important things slip away. Don't sweat the small stuff. And keep your eye on the prize. So instead of wasting time through dissipation or compulsion, we can use our time to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, in practical terms, this will mean different activities for different people. Some may spend more time with family and friends. Others may give more time to serving others. Some may pursue art or music. Others may walk in the woods, while others may raise money for charity. It will mean different things for different people, but what it will mean is the same for everyone in this way. Everyone will feel more alive. When we follow our bliss, as Joseph Campbell called it, we become a blessing for the world. For when we are inspired to live a fuller life, and we inspire others naturally to live a fuller life. So time is a sacred opportunity to grow and deepen our capacity to love. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We join now in a time of contemplation. We'll take a minute or two of quiet, and I'll invite you into a meditation. I invite you to remember yourself as a child. See yourself again as a child in your mind's eye. And what were you like? And time passed. Remember yourself now as a young adult. See yourself in your mind's eye as a young adult. What were you like? And time passed. Remember yourself in midlife. What were you like then? And time passed. What will you be like 10 years from now? Imagine what you might be like 10 years from now. Time will pass. And as you observe your life, what strikes you as the most important thing? What is most precious in your life? What is most precious in your life? Are you using your time wisely for what is most important and precious, or are you wasting the time? And finally, is there anything you would change in your life about how you use your time? Anything you would change in how you use your time? Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts onto wisdom. Amen.